What's going on, listeners? This is your host, Brother X. And before we get started with today's episode, I just want to let you know about this wonderful platform called Anchor. It is one of the number one free podcasting platforms that allows you to both not only record, edit, and design your podcast to your needs, where you're able to push out and distribute your podcast to all your listeners across all the different podcasting platforms, whether it is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you name it, they are connected to it, and they're a wonderful platform. It's totally free. You can check them out at anchor.fm. And with that being said, guys, let's get into this. And welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your host, Brother X, and
the unapologetic, the culture scientist.
Sound like one of them telenovelas.
Excuse me?
Huh? And here we talk about, on this podcast, we talk truthfully and honestly about everything in between in 2022 and 2023 and here on after. So, listeners, we just appreciate all the new supporters and love you guys for showing us on all of our Instagram posts and all of our social media. Please continue to run up those numbers and those episodes. Welcome. We are always taking donations.
Donations. Gifts.
Always taking donations. But yeah, man, so we're just getting into it this year, man. Well, not even this year, we're getting into this episode. Listeners, I need you to know right now, if you're listening to this episode and you looked at the title and thought, oh, they're going to be spoiler-free, this is not that podcast. We are spoiling everything. Like right now, I'm about to drop a spoiler if you don't get off this episode, if you haven't seen the movie.
Did you not watch it? Why?
Why are you here?
It's okay.
The Jabari tribe does not appreciate you coming up into our space and not seeing the movie.
Listen, this is our house.
You are only guests.
You are guests.
I need you to know. So, before we go any further, you know we got to go ahead and introduce a guest. We got some people up in the house tonight. You know it's his first appearance. We had to have him on the podcast for this because he hit us up the day it came out. The myth, the legend, the man that steals your daddy's retirement fund himself.
Your favorite.
The redheaded assassin himself, Kelsey. Talk to the people.
It is I have returned fresh out of the ocean from giving Namor all this work. It's Kelsey in the building.
Hey, let him know. Listeners, I need you to understand right now, Namor, you are a toxic ex, but you a good looking dude.
Fine in hell.
Hey.
You think? And I'm gonna stick beside him.
Hey, let me ask you, do you think Namor gets pedicures and manicures under the sea?
Well, I mean, he does have a.
I feel like he
does have an above water. Area.
I mean, he grooms himself very well.
He has a whole First off, that above ground area is very nice. I would like to go hang out over there.
Well, you're not wrong. It looks very exotic. But yes, thank you, Kelsey, for joining us on this episode. Now we actually have a guest who we've been on a podcast with before. I guess not. What was that, a podcast, or was it just?
It became a podcast
for me. I'm about to say, it became some audio that we might have to drop in the future. But you know her, you love her, you got love for her. This is, how would you describe yourself? A
Star Wars loving.
Mm-hmm. Cultured, Hispanic, correct?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. I'm about to say Latina.
Okay, we had to make sure we don't get canceled on this episode.
So she will be our resident Latina.
So we're trying to have experts on it. We don't get canceled.
La profesora, there you go.
La profesora. Yes. And Star Wars and Latina and Latinx culture. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Yes. First of, do you want to use real name? Okay. Carolina. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Carolina. I'm here to give a little bit of the Latino sabor to the Wakanda Forever pod. And hopefully we'll all, be friends and have a better relationship at the end of this.
We're gonna fellowship together.
We're gonna talk about it later.
Hey, I gotta put some things out right now. So there's something that I sent the guests, or I gotta send it to you later, but yeah, there's this comic strip that I saw this morning about Wakanda Forever. It's quite hilarious. You might not find it funny. Too funny, but it is funny all the same. But, we ain't forget about him. He got two satin do-rags on right now. He got the original Candace Murray's hair grease in his background right now.
The hardest working engineer.
The man that has all the hats and all the do-rags himself. Mr. Smith, a.k.a. Doug Dimmadome. I had to bring it back for season 3. Mr. Smith, introduce yourself.
I'm Matt, that you said Murray's, because then the first time I think of is I probably had that Murray since like 2002, and that shit still works right now. Anywho, it's your favorite fed, Mr. Smith, also known as a Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
And I want to thank the listeners for the comments, plays, and subscriptions. Keep feeding us, and we'll keep feeding y'all. A few quick things. Number one, shout out to the Chaotic Culture Podcast for always showing us love and support. Number two, matter of fact, number two and number three go together. U.S., United States of America, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Nevada, this motherfucking Trump trying to run again. And I need to listen.
I am now a resident of the state of North Carolina.
We're not that much better.
I will claim only North Carolina currently.
How about so? You might want to claim Durham.
Don't claim all of North Carolina. Listen.
Claim Durham.
But at least when we say North Carolina, we know.
I cannot do 4 years with this motherfucker again. Mm-hmm. So whoever listening, if y'all vote this Mango Mussolini in office, I'm coming for your necks, your mothers, your fathers. I will leave the earth scorching if you let this motherfucker get in office.
I'm about to say, you going to hit him with the Namor treatment.
Listen, no, I'll go one further. I'm going to hit him with the Patriot Act from Scandal. You won't even exist.
Well, oh, shit. All right.
Goddamn.
But before we go any further and we do our mental health checks, there's a story that I found a couple weeks back, and I knew that my brother Kelsey, I needed his thoughts and his opinions on this matter. So I'm just going to read this off to you. Yes, I'm going to let that sink in for a second. Coach Scientist, can you see this real quick?
Oh, yes. When we start,
You can go over that.
Man says his supersized penis cost him a new job. May I read more?
Yes, please.
An overabundance of literal big dick energy has cost one hashtag British man his livelihood, while an extra large penis may be good news for most women, according to a man named Joe, who elected not to share his last name for privacy reasons, but you showed your entire face. Okay, never mind. His extra large manhood has left his life in chaos. In a documentary appropriately titled My Massive Cock, the man showed off his extraordinary large baby maker, revealing that it measures about 9.5 inches and is thicker. So my brain, I automatically went to thicker than a Snicker. I'm sorry, but thicker than hit my forearms. Sorry, that's my commentary.
Yes.
Joe shared that one potential employer snatched away a job opportunity because they believed he had an erection during the interview. The employer told the 22-year-old that they felt inappropriate behavior during their discussion was not suitable for their company. However, the tormented man explained that his bulging penis was not in sport mode during the process, but in its flaccid state.
So our resident dick expert, Kelsey, do you have any thoughts on this situation?
In the words of Monique, I would like to see it.
All right, yeah, I think that sells it. Yes, yes, listeners, I took a whole part of our beginning segment just to ask Kelsey this question. Mrs. Smith, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I have to say this because we talked about it in our pre-show. The fact that this man said his dick was not in sport mode like it was a fucking croc. Hilarious. I'm sorry. Like, baby, I'm ready for you. Hold on. My dick ain't in sport mode. All right, now I'm ready to go.
Just hit a flap and just go.
Also, one more thing. This dude is pretty skinny.
I'm sorry, Kelsey.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, like one more thing. This dude is pretty skinny looking, so thicker than his forearm is not a huge accomplishment.
Sheesh.
I'm just saying.
So then was my analysis thicker than a Snicker appropriate?
Maybe a Kit Kat.
Yes.
Man, it might have been a Kit Kat. You never know.
I was about to say, like, just looking at this man, he's a British man. So maybe in Britain, he's got, like, you know, a massive dick. But I wonder if you come over to America or some other countries where he falls in line. I don't know.
Does it work like a currency exchange? Because you know how they measure in like they don't measure in inches. They measure in
centimeters.
So I would assume maybe like, is there like a dick translation? Is it smaller? Does the currency not match up?
Well, it would be in numerically be larger number because more centimeters.
That's true.
Fair enough. He probably got.
Don't worry, we're going to put Kelsey on the job to find out about more about this story.
Also, first of all, I'm sorry to this man, but I've seen bigger than 9. Second of all,
wow.
I was thinking, duh.
Also, from my own personal research, there is something about skinny white dudes that be packing. I don't understand. It's a thing in science. You're a scientist. Please explain it to me.
Hold on, baby. I love you, and you will forever be the last one ever in life.
I'm walking off the set.
Oh, no. But it is a lie to our listeners. The skinny men are tiny.
I'm going to just say.
That's all.
I'm going to say, you know my boyfriend skinny Eddie, men. Right? That's all. Yeah, that's all.
I didn't know I came here to be insulted on my own podcast.
that was not even
I don't appreciate it. I feel attacked. I'm thinking I'm going to go on the No Jumpers podcast now and talk about this.
Wow, really?
You're my last and only.
Okay, so we're just going to move on. All right.
So I'll continue to do this research for us.
What?
I'll continue to do this research for us.
Please.
Oh, you know, for science.
I'm about to say, we'll have you come back on the pod for that.
Yeah.
But now, I'm sorry, there's no transition. We're just going to go ahead and our mental health check. Listeners, if you don't know what type of energy we're going to be on, I'm sorry for you. Mrs. Smith, how you feeling, man? How's your mentals?
So my original mental, I was like a little bit discouraged because, as you know, midterms just passed and my girl Stacey Abrams, you know, was fighting a good fight, and Atlanta was like, yes. The rest of Georgia was like, nah. And they cannot use that age old adage of, oh, well, black men didn't vote for her and a black woman only was like, no. Voted for her too. White women didn't, and you know it is what it is. So y'all want y'all rights taken away, but y'all just be able to vote for the white person. That's neither here nor there. But seeing Black Panther definitely revitalized my spirit. I was thoroughly entertained. I cried a couple of different times for different reasons, and yeah, it was interesting, especially seeing it in 4DX. That was a different experience.
Nigga, that shit beat me up. We'll get into that.
Beat up when the good guys get beat up and the bad guys, and when it's just like, you know, fast car scene.
We'll get back to that because yeah, that was a lot. But let's go with some of our guests. Kelsey, how you feeling, man? Where's your mentals at?
I'm okay. I wouldn't say that I'm great, but I'm okay. Been in therapy, so that's been going.
Hey, shout out to therapy.
That's been going. Also been in the gym more this week. So awesome. Yeah, this week. So it's very new, but still, still progress.
Hey, that's all you can ask for, man. Kelly, yep. How you feeling?
I'm actually doing better than I have in a long time. Like, knows this firsthand. I was been on the struggle, just, you know, being an academic, trying to get some papers out. And I finally have a little break. And so I've been, you know, definitely having some self-care, going to the gym, hanging out with friends like I am now. So it's really good over here. Hopefully it stays that way.
Okay. Coach of Sciences.
You know, I'm just job hunting.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm blessed. And that's, you know, all you can really ask for. And yeah, so I just try to stay positive.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm doing, I was inspired to go back to African dance class.
Hey.
not from Wakanda Forever, but for Women King. Hey. And I'm truly enjoying going back to class. I'm looking forward to every Monday going. So it's a part of my self-care routine. So hey. If I don't make it to the gym, they work me out in the African dance class, I'll tell you that.
That's what's up.
And I might sign up for the Kwanzaa performance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that an exclusive? Am I allowed to record it? Can I put it on social media?
We'll see.
Don't worry, I'm gonna do it anyway, listeners. I'm gonna put it on the page. Y'all gonna see it. Exclusive content. All right. But honestly, man, for me, I'm in a weird place, man. Obviously, I talked about it before. As an educator, it's very challenging at times, especially like I've talked about my struggle before of being a Black male educator. Honestly, a lot of times of having to play that stern, hard-nosed, sometimes authoritarian figure for students in the school, it becomes very draining, man, because you don't get into teaching to be that person, but you also know that that is a needed thing in the whole process. So just kind of dealing with that, and just you kind of have those ebbs and flows of being drained with it, honestly, because it's just like, dog, I don't want to have to be the bad guy all the time. But a lot of times behaviors elicit that. And I'm in a very rare position as being a Black male in education. That's not just a coach or someone else of that ilk, which no disrespect to them. But I'm, for a lot of these younger kids, the first Black male figure that they see. So I know that there's a certain weight that comes with me talking to them. So every conversation that I have with them becomes their internal voice of what a Black man sounds like and how he carries himself moving forward. So it's a certain level of weight and responsibility that I feel. But shout out to my therapist and reminding me that sometimes I'm just doing too much or trying to do too much and learning how to set those healthy boundaries. I have to, if I can find out, share the book that she asked me to start reading. And I'll put it in the show notes if I find it later on. But yeah, just I'm doing all right, man. And just trying to take it one day at a time. But with that being said, you know, go ahead and play that copyrighted music, Mr. Smith.
Okay, so this is going to be a real quick one, listeners. Not a lot really that happened in the last couple of weeks. Like, there's something that happened, but there's something that didn't happen. In the MMA, Israel Adesanya, a.k.a. The Last Stylebender, lost for the second time to Perry in the fifth round. And this wouldn't have been such a big thing to me. I'd have been like, all right, you know, but you know, you lose, stuff happens. But you dressed up as Black Panther as your intro. Why, people, must we continue to do this? Especially if it is the opening weekend. If you were going to dress up as somebody who we have admired and we said, oh, this is going to be like his swan song movie, like we know we're not going to see him in anything else, you better beat the, I'm talking Mike Tyson first round knockout 30 seconds in the fight type beat him. Instead, you went five rounds and dude knocked your ass out. So not too happy about that. Moving on to the NBA and I'm not even going to butcher his name because he's trash to me still, but Nia Long's ex, and listeners, if you remember from a couple episodes ago, you know who I'm talking about. He thought he was going to be a Brooklyn Nets coach.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Brooklyn Nets was like, psych. And they ended up hiring within, so he still has fumbled the bag twice. But it really wasn't his fault, per se. Like, it's his fault, but it's more so the fact that Kyrie Irving is being suspended for the anti-Semitic comments that he made. Well, promoting an anti-Semitic movie or documentary, even though that wasn't his views, which at the same time, I kind of understand now. I'm like, okay, NBA, like, we get it, but like, your punishments is a little bit, this is a bit much. Like, this is a lot. This is a lot when people have been beating women all of the time and you have people getting caught for lean and coke and weed. And
if you want to talk about the Charlotte Hornets, you can just say that.
I mean, I wasn't going to bring them up. I was bringing somebody else, but sure, that's fine. So, yeah, I just, like, let the man play at this point. He already said sorry. He already donated the money. They didn't want to take it. Just let him play.
We may have this bonus episode talking about that whole situation. Maybe.
Yeah, that's fine. And then Jason Tatum got by far the silliest tech ever in my life. Like, he had a foul on another player. Looks at the ref. And all he did was just look up and just say, dang, like, you know, like listeners, when you're doing something and it didn't come out quite right, you're like, oh, darn it. Like, that's all he did. The ref looked at him and said, that's a tech. And he was like, what the hell? And everybody was like, how? He can't be mad at himself? Like, this is what we're doing now? So NBA referees, I need y'all to get it together. Last thing, NFL, the last of the Mohicans have fallen. The Eagles, who were undefeated, have now lost for the first time, and they lost to the Washington Commies. They're Washington Commanders, but they're still the Redskins, but they were the football team, but you get the point. A.J. Brown at that game was held to one reception for 7 yards, which is hilarious to me because the person that's in my fantasy league is a two-time champ trying to go for a three-peat. He lost because A.J. Brown only got one reception for 7 yards, and he only needed 3 points to win coming into that game, and he got 0.7. No, 1.7, which is hilarious. Justin Jefferson.
He's him.
You ain't had to do that, man. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that was just disrespectful. But that's the catch of the year. That is literally the catch of the year. George Pickens, you had a close one in week 3. And even Stephon Diggs, you had an extension in that same game. But yeah, ain't nobody beating that. Justin Jefferson is him. So that's it for the NFL. Everything a little light this week. But, you know, if you have any other if you need any other news or any other comments, please hit up my boy Red Wolf on his YouTube. Links will be in the description below.
You know what it is. Play the other music. I mean, sometimes at this point, they know we ain't going to play the real music. We ain't got money like that, but we are taking donations.
Donations.
Always. But yeah, you know what? You love it. It's one of your best segments of our podcast. Coach and Scientist, you got anything streaming for us this week?
Yes, I'm currently streaming The Mysterious Benedict Society. It's on Disney Plus.
Okay.
It is about 4 gifted orphans are recruited by an eccentric benefactor to go on a secret mission placed undercover at a boarding school known as the Institute. Shout out to you guys for that particular name. They must spoil a nefarious plot with a global ramification. It's really kind of cute, actually. It reminds me of, I can't remember the show, but the way the stories are told is like a storyteller is telling it. It's like in a fun, mysterious way.
Okay.
The Bogeygarts.
Okay.
It's on Netflix.
Yes, I've heard of these words, yes.
The show, what's that show? I guess I'll just have to talk about that show next week.
Hey, that's called a tease.
Yeah, because it's told in the same style as the one I can't remember the name of right now. But it's like really fun to watch. So you can watch it on Disney Plus.
Hey, shout out to them. Shout out to that show. I watched bits and pieces of it. It looks interesting. It got some black people in it, so I'll watch a little bit of it. We're just going to leave it at that. All right, so now we're going to get into one of our bigger segments, which is Now Mind You. For those who do not know, Now Mind You is a segment where we talk about stories that we found on the internet, in our DMs, we hear on the streets, or personal experiences that we use the term Now Mind You to tell you the key and vital points of these stories. So this first one, Mr. Smith, you want to take this one?
I sure will. So the title of the article reads, University of Kentucky student arrested after attacking and repeatedly calling another student a racial slur.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
So the University of Kentucky student seen hurling racial slurs and physically assaulting another student in a viral video has been arrested. On Sunday morning, Sophia Rosing was arrested while working an overnight shift and has been charged with assault, public intoxication, disorderly conduct, and assault of a police officer. In the video, the 22-year-old suspect repeatedly shouts racial slurs at a Black female student, Kyla Spring, who was on duty as a desk clerk in the school dormitory at the time. Rosling is heard saying the N-word over and over. According to her arrest citation, Rosing told police that she has lots of money and gets special treatment. The citation also says she kicked and bit a police officer during her arrest. Now, listeners, I want you to understand, I'm going to play the video for our guests so they see the full totality of this video, but I want you to understand that this white girl is doing the absolute most. And you could immediately tell that she had some inebriation. She has some libations. And I don't care what you say. When you get drunk, the truth comes out.
Could you stop, please?
No.
Could you stop?
No.
Thank you.
I'm being honest.
You're a nigger.
You're a bitch.
Oh, Jesus.
And you're a bitch.
I did not get paid enough for this.
Exactly. And you're a nigger.
Thank you.
You're a nigger. And you're a bitch. You're a nigger. And you're a bitch.
Yeah,
I
got the phone video.
You too.
Hard art. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. She looked good. Try
to get
her to, like, get you.
No.
Hold on. Pause real quick. Why is Shawty standing like a starfish? Dog, I promise you, in my ignorant mind, my petty mind, I'm really thinking the way that she's standing, listening, is her legs like about shoulder width apart. If I'm her, when I'm trying to restrain this woman, I might just trip her. Like, I might sweep the leg like in Cobra Kai and have her fall to the ground and call it reparations.
She got suspended.
Oh, no, there's more to that story. Let's finish the video real quick.
Okay.
You're drunk. You're a bitch.
So, listeners, you heard it here. She kept saying, and I'm going to say it because I actually can say it. She kept saying, you're a nigger and you're a bitch with the hard ER in it, right? Now, the whole issue with this was she was trying to enter into a dorm that she was not allowed to come into because she was not a resident of that. The black girl was actually trying to restrain her because by protocol, you are not allowed to let anybody into that dorm who also, number one, does not reside there, number two, doesn't have an ID, and number three, has shown that they're definitely intoxicated. Now, what you don't see, listeners, or what you're hearing is the fact that she's restraining her and she's saying, you know, as the white girl's calling her these names, her eyes is like, I could kill this white girl. Like, I am ready to two-piece and a biscuit. And listeners, all she had to do was just thump her and it's a wrap. Like, this girl has no equilibrium. But I say all that to say, you know how the age-old, you know, the hamster wheel of they do the shit and then all of a sudden there's I don't know what happened? Yeah, so, you know, she decided to make an apology on her IG stories and says, I understand an apology may not help, but I am not a racist. I was under the influence. I lost everything, literally, and now I have to fear for my life. God forgives. Please understand. I was under the influence. I'm sorry. Please don't judge me. I lost everything. And in another one, she said, you guys really got me banned recording me when I wasn't even aware of what I was doing. My whole future is over. I withdrew myself out of respect for everyone wanting me expelled, but getting banned hurts. I'm really sorry, but I was under the influence to regret everything. Last time I checked, alcoholic courage means you've been feeling those feelings ever all throughout life. So miss me with the white tears. I mean, they're really tasty. Put a little Old Bay on, a little bit of, you know, some Sazon. But
hey, let them know. Let them know. I'm appropriate here.
You know, but I mean, like, Ma'am, you didn't say that hit hard ER at least, I'm counting at least 10 times. You're racist. Call it what it is. Own it. And last time I checked, I got plenty of money and I get special treatment. So how'd you lose everything? Just saying. Back to you, Brother X.
The real problem.
Yes, culture scientist.
There's multiple problems.
Mm-hmm. Kelsey, we're going to get you in there too.
But one of the problems, like the person said, is there's no accountability. If she would have just owned, like, granted, yes, for you, unfortunately, you were caught on tape unknowingly, but when you get too drunk, bet you won't drink ever again, honey, because there is such thing as too much alcohol, people, and now you have to suffer the consequences. And then, unfortunately, we live in a day and age, which I don't know why, I've said this before on the podcast, and I'm going to say it again. We live in a day in the world where we have cameras every single where. Okay? Be mindful what you're doing, just in general. If you know you're going to be out and about, don't drink too much. Just, you know, try not to drink too much. I mean, I'm not saying don't drink, because liquid courage can be helpful sometimes.
As we drink on the podcast right now, but we're not talking about that right now. All right, yes, Coastal Science, you were right, yes.
That's not the point. We're not drunk.
That's very true. Kelsey.
First of all, I don't wish harm on anybody. except for these racists. They got to get gotten. I don't really care how they get gotten. I don't give a damn. I said what the fuck I said. And second of all, as someone who has been under the influence many times of several different substances, yeah, it don't do that. None of them do that. No, that you just racist, bitch. You just racist.
Can I just?
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm gonna just say the one thing that I think just really highlights how unaware she is of how atrocious what she did was, is that her excuse was, "I was under the influence. I didn't know what I was doing." If she would have smashed a car into somebody else because she was drunk and she didn't know what she was doing, she'd be in jail. She would be in jail. And I say that from personal experience. I'm not proud of this, but when I was younger, you know, I had a little bit too much to drink and I drove a car and, you know, I got pulled over and had to deal with the legal system. And that's what should have happened. And I learned from that. And I really did learn from that. You would never catch me. I haven't even had a parking ticket since then. That is like learning from your mistakes. I think that everybody should get the opportunity to learn from your mistakes. I definitely believe in converting racists into people who are aware, but she clearly is not seeing the error in her way. She's just like, why are y'all blaming this on me? Because I was drunk, like I didn't know what I was doing. And I completely agree with you guys. I feel like this is a case of liquid courage. If she was really sorry, she would have some more like introspection in her apology. And like, none of that is coming out of here for me. So that's all I gotta say. Like, if this was a drunk driving situation, she would be in jail. But because it's just her saying some terrible, terrible words, then she gets to just get expelled from school, and that's it. That's honestly very minimal consequences, in my opinion.
And her ass wasn't beat. Okay, listen.
I'm sorry, Coach Scientist. She has to have an ass in order for you to be beat.
Okay.
And at a time of
week, correct.
She doesn't have thighs either.
Her backside.
Dog, she built like a number two pencil.
Her wig.
It's not crooked. Listen. It's crooked.
Listen.
Yes.
Big ups.
Mm-hmm.
To the young lady who held her restraint.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is just a highlight in the general sense of what people of color have to hold. Like, literally, this is a physical representation of holding back. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Huh.
And this, imagine what goes through our minds, okay? This is just a piece.
Oh no, like, it's that one meme where that dude's doing that chart where it says, fuck around. This is where you fuck around and you find out.
And that's what her face is saying. Her, she's like, oh my gosh, somebody please get her.
I promise you.
Because she was about
to. I don't want any problems. Because if that camera cut off,
she was about
to go to the upper room.
And she said, look, and she knew better. She said, look, nope, the camera on. Nope, act right. And as an RA, I understand. Because I had to argue with a girl once.
Hey, I'm going to put it this way. I've had to put some dudes down who thought they was real when I was an RA. It is what it is. I'm going to go ahead and move on to something a little bit more ridiculous, even more ridiculous than this. So for those who are familiar, yes, you can, Coach of Scientist, you're excited about this one? Go ahead.
Yeah, because it's stupid.
Okay.
Oculus founder created a VR headset that blows up the user's head if they die in the game.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say.
What?
Say what?
Okay, let's read more. In yet another case of wealthy people having too much time and money on their hands, the inventor of hashtag Oculus and hashtag Rift has credited a headset that will, I'm sorry, created a headset that will kill users who die in a virtual reality. In recent blog posts, Palmer Luckey, the mastermind behind Meta's Oculus, which has sold to Facebook in 2014, revealed the demand
I got it. He explained that the custom virtual reality headset is based on the anime series Sword Art Online. Yes, listeners, I'm a nerd. I recognize that anime. Don't judge me. Where the players are trapped in a virtual reality simulator that, when killed in the game, they also die in real life. Lucky worked. I can see you done got it over to me, listeners.
Lucky wrote that merging virtual reality with real life fascinated him. He claimed he wanted people to be more cognitive of their interactions with people in the virtual world where repercussions from actions typically do not exist. With the deadly headset called Nerve Gear.
Yeah, that's from the anime, yes.
Okay. Users may be more willing to conduct themselves in the same way as they would outside the game. Oh, because when I first read that, I didn't see that part. I was like, what the?
Yes.
Okay. You instantly raise the stakes to a maximum level and force people to fundamentally rethink how they interact with the virtual world and the players inside it. Sorry. Only the threat of serious consequences can make a game feel real to you and every other person in the game. Lucky explained. So you want to be a murderer.
No. So you want to feel like people of color on a daily basis is what you're telling me. Kelsey, go ahead.
I have two things.
Yes.
Number one, if Nick Cannon wasn't out here increasing the world population every 5 minutes, we wouldn't feel like we need this.
Oh, shit!
And numbers...
No. You gotta let that joke breathe. You gotta let that shit breathe. That's fucking phenomenal. Kelsey, you are a genius. You are a fucking genius.
You got that for that.
Look, I did not think that we could do that. That was not on my bingo card.
That was a good connection right there.
Oh, man.
And number two, this isn't what we asked for. What we asked for was striking vipers so we could fuck through the video game. That's what we asked for. What? Do that.
Hold on. Listeners, for those who don't know, he's referring to an episode of Black Mirror. I don't know which episode that is. Kelsey may be able to tell you.
The episode is actually called Striking Vipers.
Yeah, that was
an MDG. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's with my husband's Yaya and Anthony Mackie.
Yes.
Yeah, and they fuck each other through a video game. That's what we asked for.
That is a very interesting way to explain the episode, but yes. But yeah. So as a anime fan, I am fully aware of this. When I first read this story, I was like, so we have a whole story about why this is not a good idea, and you think that you should make it because you have money. My nigga, why?
But then he said it's not even for sale.
That's what niggas are doing, who ain't got shit to do what they like to do.
I mean, I'm glad it's not for sale, but like...
Yes.
Bro. Somebody stupid.
You know, someone with enough money.
I won't die.
Someone who owns a little bird app called Twitter might buy that.
Honestly, anybody who would buy this deserves to be taken out.
I'm about to say
natural selection.
I'm about to say, Mr. Smith, as an avid gamer, do you have any thoughts?
Okay, the thing that sticks out to me is where they said, you know, users are. Well, actually, no, I take that back. When it said the fact that they were to do things typically, they would have repercussions for actions typically do not exist. There's a reason they don't exist. Because those actions would typically exist in the actual world. People use video games to get away from the actual world.
Yeah.
Case in point, you hear everyone always say, if anybody was to play Grand Theft Auto, I would say 65, 70% of people actually play for the full story. There is a solid 30% of the people that literally go in there just to blow a whole bunch of shit up, kill a whole bunch of people, and drive through red lights and everything, things that you cannot do in the actual world. Because it's like, okay, this is my little, you know, de-stressor, and then they go about their stuff.
I don't even play that game, and I associate blowing shit up, fucking shit up, with that game. So yes, that is why I would play that game.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And so yeah. You talking about something that can blow my head up if I don't conduct myself or if something happens to me in the game?
Oh, hell no!
No, hell no. You can, sir, get this shit out. I don't ever want to see it again, and you're a dumbass. Yeah. We are not doing the Matrix. We are not doing anything like that. Just enjoy the time, and like they said, get the game, where you can fuck through virtual reality. That's it. That's all we need. We don't need nothing else.
Honestly, I can tell right now, this wasn't made with people of color in mind, because you put on the headset, your head is automatically going to blow up. You're going to log into the game, that's going to be it.
No, the problem is, and I'm going to say this now.
Think about it.
I know. You were just on one today.
I'm sorry. It is what it is. I'm just telling the truth.
I'm going to say this now. This is a bad joke already, and I know this is going to be horrible, but literally the first thing I would think of as a Black person, if you buy this and you put it on, the first thing you see is cops aiming a gun at you. I feel like that's going to be the first
thing. Oh, yeah. You know. You already know. Like, they pulling up. No. Like, you just, like, this nigga has too much money.
Yeah. It's like,
Mrs. Smith, go ahead and edit that part out.
Giving Carolina.
Kelsey, go ahead.
Also, as we all know, who those of us that play video games, all games have glitches. What if this thing glitched one time and you're out? Like, come on. You can't report that issue.
Terrible.
You are speaking facts.
Yeah, my only thing is, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so you know, when got the VR at my house, the first thing I did was get on Beat Saber and get on the Darth Vader, I forgot what the name was called, but the Darth Vader game. And you know what I found out is, even though I grew up to think that if one day I could be a Jedi, I would be the best Jedi in the world, that was not the case when I put that VR set on. So I'm also like, is this adjusted for those of us who love gaming but are terrible at it? Because I feel like I would die, you know, level one. Like, I'm not going out here like the best gamer in the world.
You're not one of these people that haven't touched grass in a while. They never leave their rooms or their offices. But yeah, man. So that just crazy. Please don't do that. If I find out you're doing that, you about to get a retired segment of another show called Donkey of the Day, but we're not going to talk about that right now. Coach Scientist, we got to make it quick so we can move on.
Oh, no, I'm moving on. I want to do this one.
All right. Oh, but no, I got this one. I got it this time.
You know, this is my city. That happened in my city.
We're going to move on. Holy Ears, Mike Tyson, and Evander Holyfield team up for Ear-Shaped Edible Live. This is actually a follow-up to a story we actually did back in season 2, I believe it was, right around the same time. Mm-hmm. So, Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield will be partnering to destigmatize the cannabis industry. What'd I do?
I thought you said
stigmatize. Hey, we gotta talk about that right now. Hey. Destigmatize.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
I got to get myself. Yes, I said it. Destigmatize cannabis. Starting November 14th, which is, as the time of this recording, was Monday, the boxing legends will release Holy Ears THC, edibles shaped like Holyfield's bitten ears from their 1997 heavyweight title fight.
I was 7.
Wow. All right, according to Tyson, his wife, Kiki, came up with the idea of the Holy Ears edibles.
Make that money, girl.
Listeners, when we originally told this story, and I'll get back to the rest in just a moment, we were like, how in the world is Mike Tyson able to make this without not getting Evander Holyfield in there? Like, I feel like it's kind of rude,
right?
for him not to be a part. Like, it's literally like, because they probably had to be like, hey, we need to get a mold of year for what? And they probably didn't tell him at first. So, I'm sorry. All right. So they said that, he said that I said, that's awesome. Then we played with it. We released it, and it was an immediate success, Tyson told Fox News Digital. It was an immediate success, and so I was saying, why don't Evander get involved too? Well, that's very nice of him. I'm about to say, I mean, you did bite his ear off, so I mean, that's the least you can do. That man still can't hear straight. All right, so they said it is about helping people. Holyfield said, so I said, I ain't got no problem with helping people. I didn't know if it was something that I had to act like. I was smoking reefer. I realized it was for helping people, helping somebody else. So the fact that it was something that helped somebody else, I was fine with it. Go ahead.
I want to know how he presented it.
I can't even do his voice. I'm sorry. I'm thinking I hear it in Tyson's voice.
Are we not?
Oh, wait.
I don't. Mrs. Smith, go ahead and play the music.
I can do a voice, but I can play along.
All right, we're back here at What the Puxedos with the reenactment of this conversation between Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. You're Mike Tyson, I am Evander Holyfield.
Mike Tyson?
Yes, you're Mike.
Why can't I be Mike Tyson?
He's from your city, remember? You said that, right?
I said the fight happened. He lives there. Crazy. Okay.
I mean, y'all have a lot of comedy. Yes, go ahead. So Evander. I got this idea.
The Holyfield.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I got this idea, okay?
Uh-huh.
You know, I got these ears, right?
I don't know why you bring up ears. I still can't hear you though. You gotta talk in my good ear.
You know, I'm trying to talk loud, but my fist is hard. It's
your what is hard?
My fist.
Your
you
fist.
You know what I'm saying.
Your lips. Yes. No. I hear you. So you're talking about the ears and your lips. But yes, I understand. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, we gotta help people.
Mm-hmm.
People like you know, got cancer and stuff.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And like other people got anxiety.
Yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know how, since I bit your ear off, you probably got anxiety now too when people get close to your ear.
Yeah, man, I can't have any foreplay with my lady now because of that.
Right, too.
Mm-hmm.
We do these, we make a lot of money because people find that fight. Like,
I might be able to get my ear put back together? Okay.
You might be able to get my lips fixed.
I don't know if we can get that fixed. There ain't enough money to work for that. I'm sorry, Mike. You might have to live with that one.
What about my attitude?
I don't know, man.
I think my attitude got better since I started taking these ears.
I mean,
stop it. Get some help. Nigga!
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
All right. What the fuck's doing this for?
Did I do good?
Yes, baby. That is why you're my person.
God, I'm gonna have so much fun editing this. Love What the Fuck Studios.
What the Fuck Studios.
Oh my God, and it was good because I knew it was two people.
Okay.
Right, so, Mike Tyson, please listen to Not Cutting Back My Ear Off.
Please.
Don't, it was a no, joke.
Please.
It was
please,
all love.
Oh, dear God. Please.
It was all love.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That shit was funny. I don't care. I might have to take the L on that one. That shit was funny. All right, but yeah, so y'all got any thoughts about this, Mr. Smith?
So originally they were called Mike Bites when me and Brother X did the story in season two, and they now rebranded it, said Holyfield could be a part of the brand, which is great. Saying he can, number one, get the residuals, number two, I mean, it is his ear, so I would say that. But I think it's really cool the fact that these edibles, the cannabis is actually what's helping Mike Tyson with his anxiety, with his depression. Like, I remember that I don't know if it was a podcast or a radio interview he did where he was just like, you know, like the demons, like they're coming for me. I'm not trying to be that person no more, but you know, if he comes back out, he's not going back and hell's coming with him. Like the fact that this is now helping him, I am very happy for him. Mike, I hope that you guys rack up as much money as you can so that, you know, when you come with things, you want to make sure that the holy ear gets you all the way through it, all that stuff. Make sure that you buy my holy ear because I Mike Tyson. That is all.
Dog, just think about Mike Tyson high. Now that hit, like, I know he has a podcast, but he's having that conversation high. Makes it so much funnier.
Lisa, you know what I appreciate though?
Yes.
They're both embracing it because it has been a joke for a very long time.
Yes.
So they're like, you know what? Let's make money off this joke.
Yes. All
right. But I mean, it was an epic night. So come on.
Yeah. So listeners, Kelsey, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love that they're doing this. It'll be great to feel like what it's like to be Mike Tyson since we'll all be eating Evander Holyfield's ear.
I see what you did there.
Good, very good. Good job.
All right, man. Carolina, did you have any thoughts before we move on?
No, I think it's great that they both can make money. I think anytime any people of color are making money, especially off the marijuana industry,
Hey, respect.
Take that bread.
All right, so we're actually going to move on into something that we've been kind of slacking on, and I apologize, listeners, that I haven't been bringing you my Black Business Highlight. So this week's Black Business Highlight is Boozy Cakes. Not Boozy Cakes, Boozy Bakes. Take two. This week's Black business highlight is Boozy Bakes. So this is actually a Black-owned business here in the Triangle area, which is actually owned by a Black woman. Shout out to her. It is wine and booze-infused bakes, whether it's cakes, buns, bundt cakes, cupcakes, any type of dessert that you can think of is actually infused with different types of wine. So it was actually someone who I actually had a chance to meet when I was at the local mall here at South Point Mall. She had one of a pop-up booth. And she basically explains that her name is Angel. She's CEO and head Boozy Baker. She explained that when they started, the simple idea of bringing the best from us to you. From concept to the final product, we put a lot of love and careful thought into all we do. We hope you enjoy all we have to offer and share the experience with others. We love creating moments and experiences for our baked goods. It's truly a party in your mouth. Kelsey, you don't have any thoughts about that part? Okay, carry on. All right, so you can definitely check them out on all the social media. There are Boozy Bakes on Instagram and on Facebook. Their information will be in the show notes. You can always place your online orders at boozybakes.online, okay? Now, the part that y'all probably skip past because y'all want to get to our review of the movie. We're going to talk about Wakanda Forever. Yeah. So cue the Wakanda music. That'll probably get us copyrighted. All right. So now, listeners, we said at the beginning it's going to be a full-on spoiler review. Let's get into it, man. Before we actually kind of break down the movie, let's talk about anybody's like highlights or favorite parts of the movie. We'll go around. We'll let Mr. Smith go ahead since his head is shining the most with that shiny do-rag. Carry on.
Anywho.
He put himself first anyway.
This is very true.
True. The Geneva Convention scene where Angela Bassett walks in with the four bodyguards. And when they sit down, the bodyguards put all the mics down like, we're not going to need this. We're just here to watch our queen do the work. Mm-hmm. And then the two countries, I know France was one. I can't remember who the other one was.
The U.S.
It was basically the U.S.
It was us.
Okay. So U.S. and France was like, oh, you promised you were going to share your vibranium with us and you've never shared it. And, you know, with the king, he made the promise you need to do it. And she's like, first of all, y'all tried to reach our contract. You tried to get into our vibranium store. And here's all the people that tried to do it. We're going to round them up. We're going to walk them into the thing. I'm going to send the recording of it to all your mobile devices. Oh, by the way, France, you're welcome. These are your people. I was like, oh.
It was like, is that type of energy?
Like, so you was like, yeah, we here. I was like, oh, okay, Queen Mother, you get my respect. You get my respect. So that was definitely one of my top moments. I don't want to take up too many because I know we're all gonna have something similar. So that's my number one for right now.
All right. Kelsey, go ahead.
So mine is also Queen Ramonda, who was consistent with that Black Air Force energy in this movie. When she banished Okoye, my jaw was on the floor that entire scene. I would have never imagined that line from the trailer was being said to Okoye of all people. I could not believe what I was seeing. But everything she was saying, I was like, damn, you kind of right though, but I like Okoye, so don't do it. Like, I was so torn. Yeah.
That was like when Shawty had to, she basically cussed out one of her homegirls because that was her girl for the long time.
Yeah.
Coach of Science, you got one?
It was like Joan and Tony going back at it. Mm.
That's right there. All right, but yeah, you got a moment?
For me, I think one of my, so those are two of my favorite moments as well. One of my biggest moments was when, how you say his name again exactly?
Namor?
Yeah, Namor.
Yeah.
So when Namor and Shuri, when Shuri went down to
visit, he gave him the eyes? He gave him the eyes because you knew he was about to say, hey, we can make some Atlantean Wakanda babies.
When he basically told her everything, explained everything.
Right.
And she, when she asked, and if we don't, he said, point blank, period, we will fuck that shit up, basically. And I was just like, wow. He just said, look, I'm either you're with me or you're against me. And it was just beautifully done. And I just, that was one of my favorite scenes because, yeah, there was no hiding where he stood.
He was very
direct. And yeah. Also very, very, very annoyingly sexy at the same time.
Hey, it ain't nothing to annoy about. That's a good look.
No, as a woman, it's annoyingly sexy.
Oh, he is big toxic ex energy. We're gonna get to that in a little bit because we gotta talk about my man. We gotta
stay beside him.
Huh?
All right, moving on. Carolina. No. We're gonna move on. Carolina. We'll play it back and post.
Type it.
All right, go ahead, Carolina.
I know you can't hear this, but that was my moment when they hit us with the Hadouken. With the clam, yeah. No, because I think again, all of these moments are great moments, but I think for me as a Latina, as a Mexican woman, just seeing my culture represented, like I like how Black people felt when they got the crossed arms with the Wakanda Forever. I was like, yes, we have a thing now. So I understand that wasn't even part of the main plot of the movie. But for me, I saw that, I was like,
it was phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
I was like, don't worry. I was also in the theater like, what? Okay, what? Listen, I was like, what are we doing? We doing both? We mixing it somehow?
Shout out to, I believe it's Hellspun Cosplay on Instagram. He posted this video where it's like, for now on, the vibe check or to greet between Mexican people and Black people is literally going to be the Wakanda Forever and the Tolokan symbol as well. So it's just like, so fucking phenomenal, man. I actually ended up doing that to somebody. I did that to somebody after I saw the movie when I worked on Sunday. Always phenomenal.
No, we're here for it.
Yes.
I can't speak for all the Latino people, but I think most of them.
I'm about to say, that's how I'm going to do the vibe check from now on.
Yeah, if you don't do the thing.
Must say, I know you died in the trenches, man. So you better not wear that Namor shirt.
Your favorite?
So my favorite moments are two moments that both include M'Baku in two different ends. So first and foremost, M'Baku is that funny uncle who gives you sage advice. That, we just need to put that out there right now. We'll get into that later. But my first moment, one of my first favorite moments, was when they're in the throne room when they're first discussing after they met Namor. And they're discussing things. They're talking about how to deal with them. And he says, oh, if the Jabari was there when he popped up on Queen Mother and Shuri, that he would still be there. Like, he would be strung up right in front of them in the throne room while they're discussing what to do about him. And literally, Okoye responds, if the Jabari was there, they would still be at the spot where Namor showed up. And out of M'Baku's mouth said one of the funniest comebacks I have ever heard in my life. He told Okoye, you bald-headed demon.
Damn!
And as a Black person, I got the undertones of, they were playing the dozen, like, this was a playful, I know you ain't talking shit about me right now. So I'm going to, it was Big Maxine and
Kyle.
Right there. Like, I just knew right then, they're like, they've gotten close to each other, like, they're good, they don't have any beef anymore, they're just funny. Now, did you have something about that?
Oh, well, I have one more.
Okay, so the second, moment was when Namor fully popped up on Wakanda after Nakia. You definitely sniped old girl and you killed one of the Tolokan. M'Baku finally saw Namor and he pulled up on him. He was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna beat you with my big ass stick.
The way he said, flying man.
Yes, he pulled up on him, jumped, came down with his whole staff. Namor didn't even flinch. He didn't even turn around. Mm-hmm. He put his arm up. Block that shit. Kelsey, we're not going to do this. Stop. We're not going to do this the whole episode. So he pulled up with him. He swings the staff and breaks it on Namor's arm. Namor didn't even look at him. Namor proceeds to turn around and cave M'Baku's chest in.
And then what did I do in the middle of the theater?
The coach and scientist was like, oh, no!
Very loudly.
You would have thought that,
oh my God,
that was a child.
I said, oh, my God. I thought he died. I was mad.
No, again. You just saw his whole chest plate cave in. Like, everybody in the movie theater was like, oh, this nigga dead. And mind you, here's the crazy part.
But I was also impressed.
You were. I will say, ever since that part in the movie, you saw a change in M'Baku. Because when they got to the throne scene, they're talking about, Shuri was like, yeah, we need to kill him. He was like, Well, wait a minute. Let's think about this. He's a god to these people. Let's reconsider. His energy changed real quick. That's why those are two of my favorite moments. Coach Scientist, you had another one?
Yes, my one for me, of course. When Shiri finally freaking got her mind right and remade the flower. Finally, with some common sense. I'm just saying, she pissed me off for a little bit.
She was grieving.
I get it, but girl.
She lost her whole family.
I get it, but girl. Like, before that happened, but girl. There was like other steps that, anyways. When she went into the ancestral realm, because we had a whole conversation in the car.
Yes.
About somebody else talking, but that's the thing we can talk about later. Mm-hmm. Who she saw when she saw Michael B. First off, I was just happy. But I was excited. I wanted to see her mama. Mm-hmm. But I was excited to see Michael B. Oh, I'm sorry. Killmonger.
There you go. I'm about to say, it's Michael B. Jordan. It's okay.
Killmonger.
Queen, it's okay. It's
Michael
okay.
B. with that low love, okay? Confidence.
Like, he's like, he still was like, what did y'all do? That bring you back to me. He still got fucking nigga energy.
But I like that scene because it plays really strongly on people and revenge and people, what they're thinking, and the power of what is actually in your heart.
That's very true.
And what you're actually unaware of what's in your heart sometimes. So that was a very powerful scene. Plus it was Michael B. Jordan.
Kelsey?
Yes to everything that y'all have said so far. But also one that has not came up yet is the fight scene between Okoye and Atuma on that bridge.
Hey,
I've never once been scared for Okoye until that moment. I was like, wait a minute, what is happening here? I couldn't deal.
You gotta understand, there's a thing with like listeners, you gotta understand, Okoye in the movie is like, when Okoye puts somebody down, they stay down. When she put down those three fighters and Atuma is just standing there watching, And she puts all three of them down. He was like, oh, okay, so it's going to be a fight between the two of them. When these motherfuckers got back up and looked at it, and then he realized, oh, I don't have to use my weapon against you. I was like, hold on, bitch. Don't insult Okoye. And then he just proceeded to give her the business. I was like, I see your point. I'm about to say points are being made. Go ahead, Kelsey.
My other one is still, I believe, your scene when M'Baku said ball-headed demon, but he walked into the throne room. I think he was eating a carrot, and I've never wanted to be a vegetable in my life. The best for you, that man could have snapped me in half, and I would have said, thank you. May I have some more?
Dog, that is the, like, I am not worried energy. Look at me. He put a full Bugs Bunny walking into the throne room. Yes.
Came in like, what's up, Doc?
Okay, so you know, that might be the sound.
That might be the sound.
Yeah.
Mr. Smith?
One, I realized really quickly that Namor was not to be fucked with, and he was just like, he was literally Mr. Fuck Around and Find Out.
Yes.
Immediately. The fact that he literally, I mean, granted, he's a person with wingtips on his feet, but the fact that he is ducking and dodging all these Wakandan ships like it's nothing, breaking them, and then he stares at Queen Mother, pops the glasses like, oh, this is what he's breaking. Okay. Backs up and then throws 8 water bombs and that bitch and says, all right, I'm just gonna kill your queen. I don't give a shit about anything else. Then when the queen, and spoilers anyway, the queen is dead, which I understand. But it hurt. We already lost Chadwick. We did not need to lose Angela Bassett at the same time. But then the fact this motherfucker said, mourn your losses, I'll be back in a week. And it flies off like hold on. Wait a minute.
But oh, you know what I've been very impressed with them, like as a people?
Yes.
Their motherfucking water bombs.
Dog, you ain't never been scared of a water balloon in my life until that moment.
At the end, when they were on the ship and they really the wife.
I don't know if it was his wife.
Okay.
I about to say
the cool chick.
His side chick.
Namora.
She. I don't know. What would you describe her? Is she
I don't wife? Know. I love her. She's one of my
she's
favorite.
She's like one of her two. She's just one of her loyal followers.
She's badass.
She is badass. No, don't get it twisted.
Her facial expressions is like.
All right.
What are we doing? When she took when she said, oh, this is what's hurting us? All right, let me fuck this shit up real quick. I said, oh, she was real strong with it, just twirling. And then it just, I said, oh, it's over. As soon as that happened, I said, okay.
How about I say, Wakanda might lose. And Wakanda then, might hold this L.
I appreciate in the movie that they honestly said, they did say in the movie, she need to hurry up.
We're going to lose if she don't hurry up. We're waiting on Shuri. Shuri, get this shit together.
You have to respect that. Because, yeah, we was about to lose.
God, because they was looking shook.
We was about to lose. Like, motherfucker.
Mr. Smith.
Last one for me. Whoever they casted for Riri Williams, a.k.a. Ironheart, thank you.
Yes, thank you for shouting her out.
Yes,
she had the comedic relief of an M'Baku, but a younger version. Obviously, this is like her intro into the Marvel Universe, and she'll probably have her own. But the fact that...
She got her movies.
She got her own show.
I can't wait to see her movies. When does she go get movies? I can't wait.
But the fact that when Okoye and them had that exchange, she was just like, Shuri was like, let me do it. I think I can reason with her. And Okoye is like, is it the makeup? She's just like, no, you're fine.
Dog.
And then she was just like, girl, with your ashy ass bald head. I was like, oh no. She's like,
I told
you.
Shuri set her up. That was not fair. Shuri knew exactly that. Okoye was self-conscious about her head tattoos.
How much you think Rihanna paid Disney for that Fenty shout out on the makeup? Did anybody else catch that?
I caught that. Oh wow,
I caught that.
I was about to say, she was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get the theme song, but yeah, go ahead and put this in the movie.
Also, oh, that's probably literally what happened.
Yeah.
You know what? Another funny part. One of my, because we're talking about Okoye.
Yes.
At the end with my favorite colonizer.
Leave that man alone. He ain't do shit.
Legit,
like,
I love him.
Like he did. Like he legitimately was in the movie just going through it.
His ex-wife is talking about Biatch. Okay. Yes, anyway.
Yes.
Listen. When she said, "Oh, the colonizer in chains."
I was like, "You ain't shit." like Okoye, you ain't shit.
I love it. I love
it's
it.
It's funny, but you ain't shit.
That was wonderful. Right. There was just so many funny moments.
Okay, we're gonna do one more, and then we're gonna move on. Kelsey, go ahead.
I just want to shout out for the typical 1.5 seconds of LGBT representation Disney will allow, which was Anika and Ayo at the very end, and yes, yet another blink and you miss it scene, because that's all the LGBT representation Disney will allow. And I'm gonna keep saying this, Disney, until you get your fucking shit together and give us a gay character with an actual fucking storyline.
I finally did watch Luca.
Yes.
That's a game.
Yeah. Come out the womb. Yes, go ahead, Carol.
And one small thing. Mm-hmm. This is gonna be for like the real hardcore like Marvel fans. But when Namor acknowledged that he was a mutant, I am the biggest X-Men comics fan.
Yeah.
I know that the diehard X-Men fans were like, and so he said it. And then, you know, as for gay representation, you know, the X-Men open up like a whole world of possible gay characters. Like, we are big LGBTQ community in the X-Men.
They got all the strokes out there. Yeah.
Hey, listeners. So hopefully you enjoyed part one of our Wakanda Forever review. We definitely had a lot of good highlights and favorite parts, and could have taken the whole episode just doing that one segment. We didn't want to make this episode too long, so we're going to break the episode up into two parts. So part two will be released next week around the normal time. But along with that, if you want to follow us for our social medias, you can follow us at TheTNTPod123 on Twitter, The Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, Truth and Transparency Pod on TikTok, The Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook. And if you have questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at truthandtransparencypod123@gmail.com. Once again, that's truthandtransparencypod123@gmail.com. And for the culture scientist and Brother X and myself, if this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, they are forever grateful. I'm forever grateful. And we will see you guys next week for part two of Wakanda Forever. Peace. You know, man.